Because when one looks at the Ravid, one is hard-pressed to figure exactly what they're arguing about, once again. I mean, I can explain to you what the Ravid's arguing against the Baal HaMoron, but it's almost, not quite Mabakach. It's a machlokas on how to read the Gemara, but there doesn't seem to be much machlokas in Din.
Again.
What's that?
Again.
Again.
Yes, he likes doing that.
And by the way, it's no insult.
Yeah, what was the diatribe here? Okay, Tumnos Ivaron.
It seems that the
how would you translate Tumnos? Tragedies?
Tragedies and blindness. Yeah.
It seems like the closer the Baal HaMoron is to
that's called the Law of the Martian.
Yeah. Right. The closer he is,
the more
fierce his rhetoric.
Why the Yugoslav republics are all at war with each other?
The Law of the Martian is that the two people who will be arguing most keenly with each other are the ones that the Martian will have greatest difficulty distinguishing between.
Because the people who are different from you are the most dangerous when they're
okay.
Seen so close.
Okay, let's begin.
We're up to the Ravid.
And I will finish reading what I started yesterday, and then we'll go on to the, I guess, the three Arbeniona too. Amar Avram, Ein Nirin Dvarav, Kimasham Rinan, Hu Omer Ala Mugmar, Eino Choser Ala Mavarech Ala Yayin, Sharei Ein Echad Mavarech Lachulam Ala Yayin Shebal Achar Amazam. In other words, the Mishnah only mentions, the Baal HaMoron says, Hu Omer Ala Mugmar, who refers to the person who made the bracha on the Yayin. But since this Mugmar is coming, Besoch Amazam, nobody has made the bracha layayin yet. So therefore, Shari ein echad mevarech l'chulam al layayin shabalach armazon v'la mugmar mevarech afilu ba besoch armazon v'lo kam aflik bay ki hechid aflik b'yayin v'ad shalom nisborer mihu ha-mevarech al layayin eich yipol avaloshon v'hu omer alav. How can you say v'hu omer alav when there's no who yet? Now, what did the Baal HaMoron say actually? Who's the Mavar? What is this argument about? No. But the Baal HaMoron agrees. The Baal HaMoron says the Mugmar. For the Baal HaMoron, when can the Mugmar come? Any time except. I mean, when can it come in this din of the Mishnah applies? Any time except. La'achar Birchas Hamazon. Now, when he said, but the Baal HaMoron does mention the guy who made the bracha on the yayin shelifnei hamazon. So the Ravid says there's no guy who makes the bracha on the yayin shelifnei hamazon here. There's only a yayin shelachar hamazon. Is that true? What are they arguing about?
It
depends how you read the Mishnah. What part of the Mishnah? I'm sorry. No. Yehuda. Aluva Hesebu.
Right.
Who is that referring to? Is that referring to the bracha Echad Mevarech L'Chulam? Is that Al Yain or Al Pas? Now the Pas just says the Amoraim agreed, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan agreed that was speaking about what? At least Pas, because they both agreed that it's talking about Pas. The question is, doesn't at least Rav says Lo Shanu El Pas, but Rav Beferish is telling Pas, and Rav and Rabbi Yochanan says Afilu Yainami. So Rabbi Yochanan may assume it to have been both. The Baal HaMoron is reading it as if it's alayayin. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? There is no mevarech alayayin. Except for the achar amazon, and that's not, and we're saying that v'hu omer ala mugmar afilu babitoch amazon. There was no yayin before. So what is the Ravid going to say in the next paragraph? What's v'hu?
The
boteya. Okay, so big deal. I know, but that's the whole story here. Chaim?
Is it really that clear that that's what the Moor is talking about? It sounds like he's talking about like between Mazon.
Well, you can have that too. I mean, at any point during the course, somebody may make Yayin and Mugmar might follow it.
No, when the Baal HaMoron refers to between the Mazon, right? Is that the same thing as Toha Mazon in terms of like in this?
For these purposes, it's not Lachar Suda. Yes.
But you would have so you would have everybody would have to make their own bracha.
No, not on Mugmar.
No, I'm on the wine though.
Only no wine. You distinguish between Be'emtz HaMazon and Bein HaMazons.
Right.
Because the Bein Beisabli Apano is the issue. But Mugmar, no matter what, it's always Echad Mevarech L'Chulam. But the point of the Baal HaMoron, maybe is trying to avoid the Ravid's question by saying it might be a multiple course meal. So someone made al yayin, you know, la'acharm this mazon before another mazon, and then mugmar. But either way, he could be reading al dovei sebu, it was for the yayin also.
Well, it seems like the Ravid is his first critique of him is that everybody would be making their own bracha anyways on the wine. So how can you say that that person should make it on the mugmar?
Correct, because he says that there's no mevarech al yayin according to the Mishnah until la'achar hamazon, but the mugmar, even if it had come earlier, echad mevarech l'chula.
Right, but the Balmor is not talking about that. The Balmor is saying that it's like this inter, like this inter.
I know.
Inter zone here.
I know.
So
but it's not that the.
Page.
I know, but the point is, even if the Baal HaMor exhumed the red Aluvei Sebu, because the Baal HaMor does have a lashon, Lefnei HaMazon Ulachar Mazon. Aval Zeha Mugmar and the Baal HaMor Chaim, Shabbat Tocha Suda, Mevarech Alayayin, Shofnei HaMazon, Obey Mazon HaMazon, Umevarech Alav. He doesn't care when it is. The point is, if there was somebody who preceded this mugmar and made an individual made a bracha, so then the din is that person gets to make it on the mugmar. So the Ravid says there is no person earlier, except for instead it's the botzea. Okay, fine. So it's the botzea. Who cares? What's the difference? What's the difference? So, yeah.
It's not going on. The machloket, the way I understood it was.
So the answer is they assume it goes even on the first because they want to talk about Mugmar Haba B'Socha Suda. So the question is who is that first one who Omer Echem Mevarech L'Chulam. So the Ravid says that's the Botzea. The Baal HaMor will be reading it to the Mevarech al Yayin Shel Lefnei Asuda. But not Bekach. What difference does it make? Shlomo?
At what point in Halachic tradition did the idea start that Baal HaBayis and Botzea? Because then the Botzea would always be.
This might be a case where there is no Botzea or the Baal HaBayis gave someone Rishos. Where there is no Baal HaBayis. Right. No, it's in the Gemara. Botzeh mevarech, aval bayis botzeh vorech mevarech. That's in the seventh parak.
Oh, it's in the seventh
parak? Yes. That's why it's familiar. That and we learned in halacha first semester, so. Okay, so anyway, or second semester, whichever. So the Ravid continues, Umay, my damar nami shem mevarech birchas hamazon hu agadol shebechulam kiderachi yivarashi damar notei yada b'acharona v'chulei l'hachi amrin adika da'adif minei v'amar zed ihu mevarech birchas hamazon nimnei shu gadol shebechulam. That's what the Ravid said. That's what the Baal HaMor said, that this guy is the gadol and that's why he makes birchas hamazon. V'halo divrei rachi yivarashi eno kein she'eno davar tali b'gadol lo b'mishi yotol yada b'acharona. In other words, if the Ravid's point, and if the Baal HaMor's point here is that the Chiddush of Ruchia Barashi Amarav is that the Gadol makes Birchas HaMazon, so the Ravid says, well, that's wrong because it's not talking about the Gadol; it's talking about whoever washes the Mayim Achronim first. Now, the Emes, I think the Ravid didn't understand what the Baal HaMor was saying here. Let's review. What did the Baal HaMor say? The Baal HaMor understood Ruchia Barashi's Meimra, Amarav's Meimra, to mean that the Gadol is the one who is Nota Yada Bachrona and Mevarech Chida, but not that it has to be the Gadol, but rather the way the Baal HaMor understood that statement is that whoever is that Birchas HaMazon is a new unit, and therefore whoever gets to make the Mayim Achronim. Now normally that's the Gadol because it's always the Gadol's prerogative, but if someone delegated it to someone else, whoever made the Mayim Achronim first is the one who gets to make Birchas HaMazon. Makes the Birchas HaMazon. So the Baal HaMor is saying that that's the Gadol. His point is not fundamentally that it's not that Rav is coming to be Mechadesh for us that the Gadol makes Birchas HaMazon. According to the Baal HaMor, what Rav is Mechadesh for us is that it's a new unit starting with Mayim Achronim, and it's not a continuation of what happened in the Suda, and therefore it doesn't matter who made the brachos throughout the Suda. Whoever is Mechubad with the Mayim Achronim first, he is the one who will get to make Birchas HaMazon. The default option, who is Mechubad with the Mayim Achronim first? The Gadol. But it wasn't that his point. His point was that it's not that Rab was coming to teach us that it's the Gadol who makes Mayim Achronim and makes Birchas HaMazon. His point was to teach us that even though whatever happened in the Suda happened in the Suda, let's say it was the Baal HaBayis, whoever else, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, it reverts to the gadol once again. It's not the chiddush is not that the gadol gets to make these things. The chiddush is that it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning, and the Ravid seems to miss that point. So that's why he goes crazy. Who's the Rechia Barashi Amarav is not talking about the gadol? Adarabba, he's talking about the katan. He's talking about someone that the gadol gave rishus to as evidence from the story. But the Balamor's chiddush was not that it's not that the din was about gadol. The din was by saying that the gadol gets to make Mayim Achron and Birchas Hamasa, and that's telling you that it's a new story. It's not tied to what came before in the meal. Okay, but the Ravid seemed not to have, you know, latched onto that. Jason? To that unit.
But no. There's that unit or what began that unit.
No.
He's doing the guy who's starting the first unit, which is the one who's Botzea or the one who's Mavach Alayayin, is going to only do things pertaining to blessings over food. Whereas the guy who is the first one to, regardless of whether he's God or not, the guy who is the first to, or first or let, whatever it is, to wash, to do my machronim is to do my machronim, and anything that comes that's pertaining to it comes.
Yes, but
no, because then we could say that the mukbar shabbat lachar suda would go with the guy who's mevarech al yayin, because that is alike.
No, you're going to say the opposite. You're going to say the mugmar babatocha suda goes to the person who's asid to bench. Because okay. She'em avian asa mugmar alachar suda.
I know, but it's...
The normal way is bring the mugmar suda. So the chiddush of the Mishnah...
I'm not talking about time. I'm talking about categorizing
it by... No, I know, but I would categorize it as a berachas hamazon bracha, not as a berachas hanen bracha. Because the mugmar... Because the mugmar is normally brought after berachas hamazon. So therefore, if anything, I would have said that the mugmar betocha hamazon is thrown to the person who's going to be mevarech, which in this case might be the gadol. It might be the gadol, because even though we don't really know who's going to be mevarech right now, the person who's prerogative is the gadol.
So could we then say by default that even if we don't know who's going to, if mugmar balamor,
correct, but the chiddush.
Okay,
so Jason, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that mugmar habab, the way the balamor reads, is that even though mugmar normally comes lachar suda, and then it would have gone to the gadol, but emsa suda goes to the person who made the bracha layayin. That's the chiddush, okay. that you can distinguish between, that chronology matters more than typology. Okay, but that's what the Ravid doesn't. So I'm not sure. I don't know if the Ravid fully understood what the Balamor was saying. And granted, nobody else here yesterday seemed fully understood what the Balamor was saying either. So there may be a reason why it wasn't written clearly. So he says again, V'alo divrei Rav Chiya Barashi eino kein she'ein adav v'tal lebegadol ala b'mishe loto yada b'acharona. See, it's not that the gadol's mevarech. Ella peirush inyan kulo kachi. This is the way the Ravid understands. Ki oso shebirach lahem beirach lahem hamotzi hu yevarech lahem kol bro berchas asuda. V'yalo echad shel reisha koyi. It goes back to the first line in this section. Hey sebu echad mevarech lechulam. V'hu ha'echad shemevarech hamotzi. V'hu shemevarech ala mugmar. Who shemevarech ala mugmar? Pani Ovav there. What's that? Be'ezem makom shi'avo afilu toch suda. Now, midalom aflik be. So it applies anywhere. Now, but one second. Afal pishem v'yin esemu melachar berchas hamazon. Ukvar nifrida kiviyas kol asuda. Even though you normally don't bring the mugmar until after Berachas Hamazon, and the kviyas of the suda, of the food in the suda, is disappeared. Uva oso a mugmar ein sham zikas habotzeh klal. And that mugmar brought after the suda has no connection to the botzeh. Afilu hachi kevan sheba kodem bracha habotzeh mevarech. Sheim avir oso migdulaso shenasnu tchila osa suda. In other words, even though, Jason, the mugmar normally is a Berachas Hamazon category, you still don't, since it came, but not, it's not that if it, that you always give them the mugmar. What?
That's
no. Even though normally mugmar, he's, what, according to the Ravid, who makes the bracha on the mugmar betocha suda?
The
botzea. Who makes the bracha on the mugmar shalachar on birchas hamazon? The mezamein, the mevarech. But you would have thought that since mugmar is really shaykh to birchas hamazon, that it should have been the prerogative of the gadol, kamash malon, that when it comes betocha suda, yes. When it comes b'toch hasuda, then it belongs to the botzeya. Ayal, did you want to say something, or?
Yeah.
And then Shlomo. I don't know. No, in the Balamor, it's not entirely clear, because the Balamor says different things. First, he sets up a situation of Bain Muslim and Muslim, which is to create a category in the Yayin, which is obviously going to have Echad Mevarech L'Chulam. On the other hand, he does say later, Yayin Shel Fnei Muslim. So what...
First, he says, the first thing
he said. Yes, he does say, and it says in the first line also, Shel Fnei Muslim, L'Achar Muslim, and then Bain Muslim and Muslim. Right, so I don't know if the Raivi just seemed to, you know, eluded him. You see, if you read the Mishnah in light of the Brice of Ketzad Seder Suda, then Hesebu, Echad Mevarech L'Chulam, could very well be the Ayin. It could be the Ayin in the past. In some ways, that's the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, an unrelated issue. What is that line in the Mishnah talking about? It's a point that cannot be understated, the importance of realizing that the Gemara is a Perush on the Mishnah. What's that? But my point is, it is so easy when you learn Gemara to forget that there's a Mishnah there. Right? You know, in classic yeshivas, I know we do this standardly now, but I didn't always do this, so it's my first argument here. What happens when you get to a Mishnah? Just read the Mishnah. Right, but really, and you forget that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan have a wonderful machlokas by what Hesebu works. You don't stop to think that there's an ambiguity in the Mishnah of Hesebu, Echad Mevarech L'Chulam, is it on the pas or the yayin? Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are not just arguing about a din, they're arguing about the Perush HaMishnah. And in effect, the Baal HaMor and the Ravid are repeating that same argument. Shlomo?
I just have a bit of a problem with the Ravid.
Yeah?
According to the Ravid, who would you have thought would make the bracha on the Mugmar?
Without the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Without the Mishnah, you might have thought that Mugmar is made by, let's say, the Gadol. It's not part of the Suda.
No, but according to the Ravid, it's not necessarily that the Gadol doesn't necessarily make the bracha. The Baal HaBayis doesn't give it to...
Correct.
The
Gadol gives it to that's fine. But
it doesn't exist yet. So basically, if you have the Mugmar above the Tzoch HaSuda, you have to decide then who's going to bench?
No, you don't, Shlomo. The only point is that you wouldn't. That the point is not who makes that bracha. It's who is not entitled to that bracha. See, on your own, you would have said the botzeya or the mevarech al yayin is entitled to that bracha because it's another bracha now. So without the mishnah, we would have said he's not entitled to it. It could be anybody's bracha. It could be the god.
So
it would start by default. By default, it goes to the gadol. It doesn't belong. You would have said it doesn't belong to the botzeya because it's really not shaykh to the suda, right? There is a gadol. There is a gadol. He's here, but he, for some whatever reason, he wasn't granted, or even the balabai. Even let's say it's the balabai.
No, the gadol doesn't have to bench and give it to whomever he wants.
Yes, but it's his prerogative. And if there's a balabayis, it's the balabayis' prerogative. But once the balabayis hands out a keyboard, once the balabayis is mechabit someone with betziya, that person is entitled to make the bracha al yayin shalachar maslan. He's entitled to make the bracha the way we would say in lamaskana on the mugam shebetoch maslan. But you would have thought without the mishnah that the balabayis is a new designation. We use the term gadol because when it's 10 people got together and there's no balabayis, it's the gadol's prerogative. If the gadol seated, or because he wasn't there at the way beginning, and someone else made the bracha, was the botzeya, so that person is entitled to all the berachos asuda. Without the mishnah, I would have said mugmar is not called berachos asuda.
Okay.
I would have said mugmar is no different than if some guy who none of them have seen in a year shows up, and one of them is going to make a mechaya mason for everybody. Who's in, if that were the case, who's entitled to make that bracha? The answer is the gadol, not the botzeya, because it's nothing to do with the suda. So that's what I would have said, Yehuda. So the answer is because the Yerushalmi asks a question and assumes that the reading of the Mishnah is follows, and on this the Baal HaMor and the Ravid agree. Hu omer ala mugmar haba b'toch hasuda. Af al pi sheberegilos ein mevias ha mugmar lachar hasuda. And then he wouldn't get to make the bracha. So they understand based upon, because of the because the Yerushalmi, they understand that well, then the who can't be the one who just said because that's after the Mugmar that we're talking about. That's after Besoch HaSuda. So the who must be, the antecedent must be earlier than that. It can't be on the line that immediately precedes it, because that person is not designated at the time that they're making the bracha on the Mugmar. We don't know who the Mevaracha Yan Lachar Masan is yet.
Even before the Yerushalmi comes along, if I read the Mishnah, the who on Yerushalmi on the Mugmar, it sounds like it's coming right, the person who's making the bracha on Yain Achar Afreya Masan is making the bracha on the Mugmar, and then even though Mugmar is normally brought after Bechar Masan.
Say again? Come again.
Before even Yerushalmi, when you see the who Omer al Mugmar, that seems to indicate that that's going directly on what happened before, which was the person who's making the bracha and Yain Acharya Masa. And Afal Pi, that they normally bring Mugmar after their Kadabasa.
Yeah. Here they brought it.
Why not just understand it like that?
You would have, but the Yerushalmi understood it for whatever reason.
Who
Omer
al Mugmar. Don't have the who.
What? But either way, it understood from the question of the Yerushalmi, it's readily apparent that they understood that it was Babiso Hasuda and still Echem Revarch Lachulam. That was their question, why is the difference between Mugmar and Yain? Once you had that Yerushalmi, that's why the Balamor and the Ravid read as they do. Yehuda, if I didn't have a bodily Yerushalmi, you know how I would have read this Mishnah? I would have read the Mishnah that it's the Mugmar comes La'achar Suda, whatever that means, either maybe after Berachas HaMazon even, and still the guy who made the Berach and the Yayin Shalachar HaMazon makes it. You know why? It's all one big happy family, these Berachas, including Berachas HaMazon. The Chiddush of the Mishnah, and the Bavli read it this way also, it's a common tradition to the Bavli and Yerushalmi, they both read Pashtus as V'hu Omer La'Mugmar on Mugmar Haba B'soch HaMazon. What, listen for a second, because the Bavli says that this Mishnah proves Rechia Barashi Amarav. Rechia Barashi Amarav's Chiddush, especially according to the Baal Hamor, was that Mayim Achronim marks a new beginning and a new unit. So whatever reasons, tradition, minhag, whatever it was, both the Bavli and Yerushalmi understood that this Mugmar, Aval Pishen and Mugmar Bar La'alachar Suda, means even though it normally only comes La'achar Suda, on this Mugmar, he makes the Baracha. Because this Mugmar came Besoch HaSuda. On my own, I would have read it as saying that everything is one big long thing.
Why are we assuming that the person who makes a bracha on pot or yayin in the Amazon is the same person who's making bracha throughout the meal? Does that reflect the reality, or is that...
Well,
I would have thought that maybe different people make brachas for everyone.
No, the point is it starts... That itself is learned from V'hu Omer al Mugmar. The idea that that person who got the Yai, Berachas HaYayin, or the Berachas HaMotzi, he also gets the Mugmar, teaches you what? That there's such a thing as a chain. And that also could have been the Chiddush of Rechia Barashi Amarav, according to the Ravid, which is that Kol Noto Yada Bachmar Netchila Hu Mezuban
LeBracha. I guess what I'm saying is, obviously it's not reflected in the way that Yerushalmi and Bavli understand the Mishnah, but I read the Mishnah, that
I grant you, you could have read something completely different. If you have the word v'hu, that already, however, suggests that there's a notion of a chain. V'hu Omer la'Mugmar, the guy who did whatever bracha was before, he also gets the Mugmar.
Yeah. You're saying that bracha before could have been the bracha
on the Yes. Yes. Good question? No. David? Okay. Fine. So the Ravid now says the following. This is the Perush. Again, Ella Parish, I read most of that. So where are we? V'daikina migmara. V'daikina migmara mitkamar hu mechlal dika adif minei shim haya gadol v'achova mutela sala b'chol tzorche asuda. If he was the gadol and the chova was mutela, then the chova would have been mutela salav lo haya tzorche hazir alav lomar shehu shabat sehu yivarech ala mugmar. It must be a case where was the Botea was not the Gadol, and we're telling you that the Botea gets the Bracha of the Mugmar. Shema mina shein chova su the mutelas ela oala ragil, o she yochel a Gadol lite mishus la'achar davar ki'in she'asa rabbi l'rabu, chad v'chir barashi, shem haisa a chova mutelas ela Gadol in a gol rashay li patim menu, ki mevaze b'mitzvah, el l'nitan le Gadol on ekvodov im hirsha la'achar her rishus b'yado v'hu derah hayasha. So the bottom line is, what is the machlokas, the Ravid and the Malamor then? They both agree that if the mugmar is bala achar birchas hamazon, who makes the bracha on it? Not the boteah, the person who made birchas hamazon. They both agree if the mugmar comes b'sel chasuda, who makes the bracha on it? The boteah or the mevarech alayayin, who presumably is going to be the same person. So what then is the machlokas? Yeah. I think that's completely impossible what you said in the Baal Hamor. Why? The story. Why would Rebbe do something that's b'diavad?
That's a question that Rebbe
No. You see, but that's only a question based upon the Rebbe's misunderstanding of the Baal Hamor. The Baal Hamor's point when he says that that's the Gadol, he doesn't mean that it's the Gadol and a Gadol can't ask a Hedyo. What he means is it's the prerogative of the Gadol. In other words, remember, what's the chiddush for the Baal Hamor? The chiddush for the Baal Hamor is that starting with Mayim Achronim, the prerogative reverts to the Gadol, who may give it to whomever he chooses. In other words, because Rav said, Kol hanota yada b'achrona t'chila, hu mezum on the bracha, not kol habotzeya hu mezum on the bracha, you see it's a new beginning, and by default, new beginning goes to the Gadol to make it himself or to delegate to whom he wishes.
Says that there's no transfer of power come benching, right? Rather, it's the same person from the beginning.
No, he does not say that. Sheker atodover.
Is
what, from the Botseya to Berchus? What do you mean? What do you mean there's no transfer? That was a quote. That was a big... Where was that quote from, guys? Don't say anything. Where is that from? Sheker ata dover. I'm not going to finish the last two words. You will give it away who it is. What? You could just guess the book's name. What are the next two words? El Yishmael. Now where's it from? I'll take all you and throw you out the window if you don't know. It's the Gedaliah's assassination. When he was informed that Yishmael was plotting to kill him, and Yonah's son Yochanan ben Kareach wanted to kill him, you know, and to show us, you know, Lama Yakeka Arza or something like that. So he said, Sheker atado Yishmael. The Ravid says what? That if you botzea, does that mean you're entitled to mugmar la'achar berchas hamazon? Do you get the mugmar la'achar berchas hamazon?
Yeah.
No. Not true. It's a he says beferish against that. You're not the first one to make that mistake in reading it. He gives you his language. Look at his language. He says, "Afal pisha ein mevinas hamugmar el alachar berchas hamazon ukvar nifrida kavias kol suda uvamoso mugmar ein sham zikas habotzei klal afilu hachi kevin sheba kodem berchas bracha habotzei mevarei." When it comes before. Do you see? Don't see the words, or you don't understand the words?
No, just show me what that was.
You see where it says that nifrida kavias? It's about midway through, a little more than midway through the second paragraph. Are you in the Ozvahadar, in the new one?
Old school.
Old school. Uva oso mugmar ein sham zikas b'habotzea klal.
Okay, fine.
Afilu hachi kevan shebok kodam bracha habotzea mevarech shem avir nasa migdulaso shenasin lo tchila lo sasuda. Doesn't say he gets the mugmar l'achar berchas hamazon.
Doesn't have a right to it in the same sense that the Baal Hamor thinks that the Gadol has a right to benching.
No, he's not talking about the.
We don't want to take him down from his position of dua, so therefore, out of kavod, we let him.
No, the Ravid doesn't say that, and the Baal Hamor doesn't say that. They both agree that the mugmar l'achar berchas hamazon does not belong to either the botzeh or the mevarech alayayin. It belongs to the Mevarech Berchas Hamazon. And the whole point of the Raven, the point is that you would have said on your own that even though this Mugmar came B'Soch HaSuda, since it's really Shaykh L'Acha Berchas Hamazon, even when it comes B'Soch HaSuda, you don't give it to the Botzeah. The Raven says, no, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That V'Hu Omer La Mugmar, even though Mugmar normally doesn't come until after Berchas Hamazon, really has no Shaykhs to the Suda, nonetheless, because it came B'Soch HaMazon, it goes to the Botzeah. That's what the Ravid says. And that's no different than what the Baal Hamor says.
Whereas when it comes after the Mazon,
it goes to the Mevarech Berchas Hamazon, and that's a new person.
He's
Yeah.
You see, either one of those. The Raivid would never accept the first possibility because of how he reads the Akal Pnim Mishnah.
He would never accept what possibility?
The possibility that the Gadol doesn't get the first dibs on that.
I agree, but the Baal HaMor also thinks that the Gadol gets the first dibs on the Bracha.
The Raivid does.
Sure, he does. And we don't know what this Ragil business is, but. Yeah, but then he goes on to say, or really does Montegado. I don't know what he means by Ragil. Ragil might be the person simply who's, by some other criteria, expected to get it or something like that.
But it's
opposite sides of the same coin. The point is, if you don't give it to the Potzea, whom by default does it really go to? And the Rebbe himself doesn't argue strongly on that. Everything defaults to the Gadol. So really, the only difference, it's almost the difference between the Baal HaMor and the Rebbe, is effectively on how to read the Gemara's Misayeya. That's all it was, and it's not a difference in din whatsoever. In other words, and I think we spelled this out already, because when we first explained the Gemara before we looked at the Rishonim, we explained it the way the Ravid did. According to the Ravid, the Chiddush of Rav is that there's a notion of continuation, that when you get one bracha in a sequence, even though you're not the Gadol, and the Gadol's there and really could be given the next part, it goes to the person who started. Kolamaschel b'mitzvah tzorech ligmar, or is it entitled to ligmar? And the Chiddush of Rav was that whoever washes Mayim Achronim first, because that's part of the unit of end of meal, whoever washes Mayim Achronim first is the one who gets Birchas HaMazon. And if it wasn't the Gadol, if it was given to someone else to wash Mayim Achronim first, then the Gadol loses Birchas HaMazon as well. Okay? What was the Messiah? The Messiah was that the Mishnah said, V'hu Omel HaMugmar, that the guy who was the Botzea also gets to make the Mugmar, even though one might have said that maybe he doesn't get to make the bracha on the mugmar. Maybe we should just revert to the Gadol. The answer is no, because it's part of the sequence. For the Baal HaMor, the notion of sequence is a given. The Chiddush of the Baal HaMor, the Chiddush of Rav, according to the Baal HaMor, is that one might have said on one's own that once you're the Botzea, you're the Botzea, you mevarech al hayayin, mevarech al mugmar shebesoch hasuda, you make birchas hamazon, you make the mugmar lachar hasuda. You would have said basically it's one long big happy chain. Comes along the Mishnah and says, "V'hu Omer al Mugmar Habesoch Hasuda." The Mevarech al Yayin makes the bracha on the Yayin Shebesoch Hasuda, on the Mugmar Shebesoch Hasuda. Aval Pishem Mevi'asem Umelachar Suda. Even though if you were to have brought the Mugmar Lachar Suda, he wouldn't get to make that bracha. That would belong to the person who made Birchas Hamazon. But the Mugmar Besoch Hasuda he gets. And what does that show you, Derech Agav? It shows you that at the end of the Suda, there is a new sequence that has begun at some point, that the Mugmar Shalachar Suda belongs to. It doesn't belong to the Suda sequence, it belongs to something that comes near the end of the Suda. When Rav says, Kol Hanoto Yada Bachrona Tchila Hu Mezum Lebracha, not Kol HaBotzeh Hu Mezum Lebracha, or Kol HaMavarech Bechsayayim Mezum Lebracha, it means that Netilas Mayim Achrona begins new sequence. And that person obviously is going to get Berachas HaMazon, explicitly gets Berachas HaMazon, presumably gets the Mugmar as well. So the only machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the Ravid fundamentally is, what is the Chiddush of Rav? Is Rav coming to tell you that there's such a thing as sequence in brachos, that once you get one, you get the rest? Or is Rav coming to tell you that the end of the Suda, namely Birchas HaMazon and that which immediately precedes it, is a new sequence? But the notion of sequence is taken for granted. That's what the machlokas, as far as I can tell, boils down to. It's not a machlokas of a whole lot. So yes, it is definitely the law of the Martian at work. Yes, Shlomo?
Coming back,
I'm sorry, Jason, you were hands up first. So go ahead.
I'm saying, when Chaim read the Ravid in the back of the Ozal HaDar, he seems to be very, very angry, very, very opposed to Baal HaMor. If the difference isn't so big...
It's tremendously important.
That was on this one?
How you read a Gemara? Yeah, there's another one there, yeah. How do you read the Gemara? It's pshat the Gemara. What's in effect? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah?
Okay. So then,
do I think that this is worth getting so vital? So here's the difference. Here. If I don't like you in the first place, then here's the way it works. When I'm listening to Kriyas HaTorah, if there's someone up there who I don't like, say because he's a Baal Gaiva, because he's this and that, and he makes a little mistake, so I get snarky about it. I may not say anything, but internally. If it's, you know, a nice person who's really nice and a fine man, that he gets there, makes the same mistake, so I attribute to the fact that he's working hard, but he's perfect, you know, could use some improvement and so on, right? That's the difference between the two of them, right? I don't know if you've ever had that experience, and this, whether it's Chris Atar, I know, not Chris Atar for you, but something else. Yeah, singles never get snarky. So whatever it is, so you react. I mean, it's clear the personal animosity is enormous. I mean, that's, you know, an understatement. It's just, it's vicious. I mean, for the Purim commentary, you could just take out those quotes in the Ezra Hadar and publish it, and they think it was Purim Torah, and it's not. Jason?
What?
Yeah, you have a footnote on the bottom. It's the difference between plagiarism and scholarship. The footnotes. Yes. You never heard that before? In many ways, that is the difference between plagiarism and research. Okay?
In scholarship,
yes. Whether you put the footnotes in, that's all. Jason.
If we're assuming that it does go by sequence.
That plagiarism, by the way, is when you leave the footnotes out, so nobody should mistake them. Yes. I'm sorry.
If we're assuming that it goes by sequence.
Yeah.
And the next sequence starts when there's Mayim Achronim.
Yeah.
What would be the case where we finish eating, we said Hamon Benibre, and we haven't. I don't know if it's such a case for the rise, but when we said Hamon Benibre, so we're done eating, but we haven't done Mayim Achronim, and we want to light up the new one.
I think that's so. That's a detail, you know. I don't mean to pull a rub on you on this one, but that's a detailed question. That doesn't interest me.
So the question is whoever said.
But you understand why I'm saying that? Because in other words, you're now getting to the definition of when does it end and when does it begin.
Yeah. No. My question is now, whoever was the Baruch Ala Mugmar, would he also be the one to do Mayim Achronim first and then the Mugmar?
So again, I think in principle, it all would you decide what part, what sequence that Mugmar belongs to. Once you do, then you apply the rule. The key, there are two keys. Number one is that Mayim Achronim, for sure, does not belong to the Suda and anything that follows it. Number two, that there's a notion of sequence. That's clear. We can have a debate whether or not the Mugmar Haba after Havlam Nivre. I'll tell you, by the way, I think the answer to that question depends upon the machlokas harishonim. If you're allowed to turn around and eat or drink again after Havlam Minivarech, according to some rishonim, I think many rishonim you can eat,
then it certainly
belongs to the Suda.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's a detailed question, and I'm willing to answer you. If somehow you decide that it belongs to the Mayim Achronim, then that begins the sequence in that case. It may not exist. But
so there's, I mean, I guess on a different level, there are no boundaries as to where a sequence begins and ends.
There are. You just have to define them. I'm not interested in defining them right now, but except for Mayim Achronim, for sure, is the beginning of Birchas Hamazon, because Techaf Lenati LeBracha. Okay. Fine. Now, we have a little bit of can I get someone who's going to read Rabbeinu Yonah efficiently? I think, by the way, that might be the last Baal Hamor in the parrot. No, there's a couple of small ones. Okay. Okay, so let's get a little bit of Rabbeinu Yonah action here. V'omer la mugmar. But someone who's got to read really efficiently. Eyal, go ahead. Now, Yehuda, that's you reading. You want it out. That's Rashi. Okay? Okay, so basically it is going on that last clause. Balam yayin achar mason echem rech chulam vehu omer la mugmar. Hagonim zal pirshu.
Hagonim zal pirshu dikshu sheh. Hiviu oto be'enza suda, mayre ve'areisha kai, dektoni hesebu hadin rech l'kulam. Rachel omar, oto she'berech hamotzi, hum v'arech ala mukon. Ve'afapi she'en v'vi'in ela l'achar suda, omar afapi she'en v'arech l'abiyo ela l'achar she'simrit she'simrit l'achar she'simrit l'achar she'simrit l'achar.
So afo pishein derech lavi, right? Okay. Probably should be shekisudaner, yeah. Shekishe sudana acheret nirei. It looks like another suda. Afilu hachi.
Afilu hachi, achav sheviu oto beemza suda. Zeshet shekhetfilu latego kabod v'tfilat asuda v'rech hamotzi.
So here, firstly, the Gaonim differ. In other words, Rashi says it's coming lachar suda, before Berachas Hamazon. The Gaonim say it's coming be'emtzas suda, and they say, interestingly enough, that if it came la'achar Hamazon before Mayim Achronim, what would the din be? That's your question, Jason. Really? Not, they don't have Levarech. Then you could give it to anybody. In other words, it's a new thing. Now, by the way, that fits in some ways even better. That fits even better with the diuk of the Gemara, the Misayele, different than the Raivin and the Balamor. Right? The Misayele now makes simple sense. In other words, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that Vahu Omar la Mugmar haba betocha suda. But if the Mugmar came lachar suda before Berachas Hamazon, you wouldn't have to give it to the Botzeah or to the Mevarech al Yayin. And that's a proof to Rochia Barashi Amarav, who said that Mayim Achronim is a new sequence. Right, even though it's before Berachas Hamazon, it's a new sequence. So Mugmar would be in the same category. Jason?
I asked earlier, but would the guy who was Mevarech al Mugmar continue on?
I would bet that he would. Okay, but then, now the Raya from the Yushalmi, so the Raya from the Yushalmi fundamentally is about what? It's really about the fact that the Mugmar the Mishnah is talking about came betocha suda. The Balamor has gone a step further with this, because his point is that part of the Chiddush is, it's not just that it's Mugmar betocha suda, it's an echad mevarech l'chulam. That's what prompted the Yushalmi to ask, betocha suda, why do you have echad mevarech l'chulam? They're going to choke, or it's maybe assembly upon it, whatever it is. Okay.
Is this similar to what Balamor and Rabbi were saying? In a sense that the focus is on the Botzeah or the Varech al Yayin?
Even according to Rashi, that element is there. He differs fundamentally. In a certain sense, the Balamor and the Ravid go more like Rashi, because they insist, they're not like Rashi. You know, they understand, Rashi understands that the Mugmar of the Mishnah is the Mugmar that comes before Berachas Hamazon, as opposed to after Berachas Hamazon. The Gonim understand that it's the Mugmar Haba B'toch HaMazon versus the Mugmar that comes right before Berachas HaMazon. The Raiv and the Balamor understand that it's the Mugmar which comes either B'toch HaMazon or La'achar HaMazon Kodem Berachas HaMazon, as opposed to La'achar Berachas HaMazon. The Raiv and the Balamor are neither Rashi nor the Gonim.
What about the way to read the Mishnah?
In terms of... You can't... I don't think that's an issue that's really... that's not so pertinent. You know, how does Rashi technically read it? Rashi reads it on the last thing. Amisha Berach HaYachar Mazon. How did the Gaonim read it? I don't know if you... One second. He has Hamotzi. Here's the boat say, I like the Raivin. There's a star here, but I don't know where that star goes to. Okay.
In that
particular spec, but that part is Mabakach.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter in terms of halacha. It matters technically what Heisebu means. Is that Pasayayin? Okay. Go ahead. Vakati Kalameidach. So, yeah, you're going to wind up with a sakana. So what? How can you get away with it?
By the way we interpreted.
I understand, but you have to understand the Rabbeinu Yonah, which I didn't ask you to look at. Dibar Mascha Balahem Yayin on the previous. It might be the previous Amud in the stand. It's on the right column if you're in those Vahadar, but it may be in the previous Amud, the other in the Vilna Shas. So there he already acknowledged that the problem is Sakana Vamein. He reads the Yerushalmi straight. Ein Beis Ablei Panoi is a function of Sakana. Correct. No. But it's the Gaonim who are reading the Yerushalmi Kipshuto that the question of the Yerushalmi would be, why is Echad Mevarech L'chulam? Again, in other words, according to there is another way of reading the Yerushalmi. If you remember, it's the other way of reading the Yerushalmi is offered to us by Tosfos. Which Tosfos? Tosfos understands the Yerushalmi is simply Vuam ala Mugmar, even when there's no Heseba. Even when there's no Haseba, Echad Mevarech L'chulam, and that's what the Yerushalmi to know. Why is Yayin different than Mugmar? But if you're going to use the Yerushalmi as a proof of the Gonim, and you're going to read it that way, then you have this problem. Shlomo?
We're talking about, we're worrying about them choking while they're saying Amen.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy eating that when someone makes a bracha on the Mugmar, they can't put down their food and say Amen. We're not talking about they're drinking something, because the Mugmar is incense.
Right. So what are you asking? Yeah, the food that's in their mouth when they say Amen.
Right. Why wouldn't they know to stop chewing?
Because when you have to make a bracha, you prepare yourself, because it's a big deal. But Amen, you think anybody can blurt out an Amen. You know, it's a short, brief thing. You know, it's a very interesting comment that Torah Tzimima has. There's a Gemara in Megillah. Ben, is there a Megillah there?
Yeah, what are they eating?
Where's the Megillah? It's a through Chagiga. I can't tell you in Metzias, Shlomo, whether this is true. Oh no, it's probably in Tanis. Do you know what the Gemara is about Yaakov Avinu Lomis? Is it Zion and Tanis? In Tanis? Kalomer Yerachav. No, because that's Miyad Nikre. That's in Megillah.
Yeah, that's in the first part.
Yes, but that's pretty big. The Makira Vioda. Where's Yaakov Avinu Lomais? That's in Tanis, I'm sure, but I don't remember where. Hey, I'm in bed. Okay. You have a Bar Ilan on there? You tend to know it. Okay. So here anyway, he says, Amar Le Renachman Rav Yitzchak, Le Mamar Milsa. He asked him to say a vort. Amar Le Hachim Rav Yochanan E Mesichan Besuda Shem Yachtim Kanu Levashen. You're not allowed to speak in the middle of a meal because you might choke. The Yavali de Sakana. Vasar desoid, after they had a meal, after they finished eating, Amar Lehachim Rabbi Yochanan Yaakov Avinu Lomais. Okay, and he goes on to ask him a question back and forth, and then he quotes another thing, Kala Omer Racha Racha Miyad Nikre. Prompting Rav Nachman's great statement, although Ari's not here, he said, Ana Amina Velo Ichpasli. He said it had no effect on him. Okay, that's pretty weird. But anyway, so the Torah Tamima comments on this. I think it's probably on Yaakov Avinu Lomais.
Why is it weird that he said it and didn't have an effect on him?
What's that? No, it was weird that he experimented. Think about it.
I can see someone hearing a ridiculous thing like that.
Anyway, so the Gemara, so the Torah Tanima says it's probably on the Pesukim of Yaakov because it never says that Yaakov died. It just says Vayivav Vayosef Alamav. It doesn't say Vayamos. So so the Torah Tanima probably it's where his explanation is, where he says that the point of the Gemara, what was Rav Yitzchak trying to teach, or now whoever it was trying to teach the other one, it's not that if you have to talk them in the Suda that it's a problem, it's that if you hear something unusual, you're just like all of a sudden stun you with the choking. So Amei may be the same thing. What? And so the Amei may be the same thing. In other words, when you have to make a bracha, you have to talk, so you push the food to the side of your mouth, but Amei doesn't require that preparation, so you might choke on it. That's what you could say. So anyway, Rabbi Yonah is working with that pshat, so he says it's a problem, because how is it, what are you going to do on the Mugmar? If the Yushalmi says that you make Echem Avarech L'chol on Mugmar, so he says as follows, Nira L'mori Arav, Nitha Rachmanu Parakei, go ahead. Not the Rachmanu Parakei. May God guard him and redeem him, or something like that. It means may God protect him. Yes. My assumption is that those are imperatives. Not Tere Rachmana Uparke or something like that. I mean, it's a different kind of expression, but yeah. Novad the Avapi. In other words, it's better that you have the bracha and nobody answer amen than having people be nanic, because the whole point of the mugmar is that when you light it, you don't have delayed gratification by the mugmar. It's instant because everybody's going to smell it at the same time. That's why Echem Mevarech Chulam. So it's better to have people not answer amen to the bracha. You can't answer amen because they're going to choke. Better to have Echem Mevarech Chulam, biyotze with shmir bilvad, without anias amen, than to be nanic for such a long time before making a bracha. Aval. Go ahead. Yotze, but yayin, there was no. You make amen, you say amen by yayin, and therefore there's a fear you're going to choke. Yes. He says that beferish. I forget where he says that, but he says it beferish. Okay. So I think, in fact, that it's in the previous Dibar Maschal, he says beferish. I think he says that so this is really the way Jason wanted to explain the Yushalmi way back when. Okay, so basically the difference between Mugmar and Yai is Mugmar you don't answer Amen, so there's no Chashash Sakana. Okay? And why were they misake not to answer Amen according to the Yushalmi? Because there's no way to light the Mugmar and have one person minena and not the others. You can avoid tasting something, it's very hard to avoid smelling something. When everybody's chewing there, it's going to go like this. Oh, they lit the Mugmar. Shlomo.
Usually they came after the Suda. Why would they have to make a Sakana for that?
But here, sometimes it did come to Selcha Suda.
It seems to be that most of the time it came, and that's why this mission is so important, because on the off chance that it may come.
So, but why does the Mishnah say that Be'emsa Suda Echem Mevarech L'chol? The point is, the Mishnah does talk about it when it comes Be'emsa Suda. It doesn't have to be a special takana. They just advise you not to, have one person make Mevarech for everybody. David?
Why does no one suggest that everyone make the bracha themselves simultaneously if they're all going to be simultaneously enjoying the smell?
Well, because Ein Beis Habalei Panoi.
But for one person, it definitely is.
Well, I know, but the point is, so it's hard to get everybody. You ever try to get a crowd all together in the middle of anything? I mean, it's hard enough when Jews aren't eating food to get them to keep quiet and listen. You ever go to an event where somebody's got to get quiet? Can you imagine when they're eating food, you tell them, stop eating? I mean, come on, that's kimat sakanas nefashis in its own right, either to the speaker or the eaters.
What's his point here?
What?
What's his point then when he says that if not, then everyone would, we have to wait a long time and people would be enjoying it before they make their bracha?
No, because sometimes if you're going to wait for everybody, you know, if every person's going to make their own bracha, but that's only going to be after they finish chewing and swallowing what they're chewing and swallowing. So you light the mugmar now, and one or two people are not chewing and swallowing. They'll make the bracha now, and then two people will finish a minute from now, and then they'll make the bracha. But in the meantime, they were nene from the smell before they made the bracha on the mugmar. So we don't want that happening. We want everybody to make the bracha before their nene, because birchas ha-nenen are supposed to be made kodem sheyehaneh, right? Also, lahanes lanolama zebla bracha. Okay, well, the feast of Arasagonim. Okay, we'll read it quickly. Nimtza. Yeah. Achar mazan achar suda. Ritzono lomar. Right, he claims goes further for the gonim that if the guy makes hamotzi, doesn't make the bracha on the yayin shalach harasuda. Okay. So his claim for the Gaonim is that they regard Suda as being Lachar Suda before Berachas HaMazon as a new Suda. And therefore, that's why the Gemara interpreted Hu Omer La Mugmar must be Mugmar Haba B'toch HaSuda. Because if it were saying that the Mugmar Haba Lachar HaSuda is in fact being made, and the Gaon don't say that, by the person who made the Bracha Berachas HaBotzeah, so then it would have said, if it put the, well, it's not actually not clear. It could have put. It should have said Hu Omer Al Hayayin. In other words, as opposed to waiting to say for the mugmar that you bring right before Berachas HaMazon, should have said Hu Omer Al Hayayin as the Balam Yayin Lachar Mazon Hu Omer Al Hayayin. The fact that it doesn't say that indicates that Balam Yayin Lachar Mazon, it's a new deal and Echad Mevarech L'Chulam, whoever that is. The Hu Omer Ala Mugmar must go back, the Gonim assumed, to the, it must be in the Mugmar Haba B'toch HaSuda. Okay. Fine. Are there any questions here? Okay. It's time to go back to the Gemara. What's that? Halach al-Maisa, we don't bring Mugmar anymore, and we don't have a Lachar Suda period, so it's usually pretty clear. And we rarely drink wine in the middle, and the wine in the middle of the meal is going to be a Kalach al-Rechem Barach Le'atzma, and we don't typically drink wine anyway in the middle of the meal, except on Shabbos, which has been potted away to the Ayin Shalaf Ne'amazon. So the only thing one can conclude is that the person who makes the B'ayin on the Kiddush, presumably, should be given the prerogative of making the Berachas HaMotzi on the bread as well. Doesn't have to, but it's entitled to it, because it's sequenced. Right? But other than that, we don't have any of these things anymore, so it's very simple. I'm sorry? What do you mean?
If you make it clear to everyone, so they're not
going to
have any.
Oh, so you want me to comment about Tosfos and Mem Gimel Amud Aleph? You should read it yourself. There's a machlokas harishon on whether or not if you say Savrei in the middle of the meal to get everybody's attention, whether that's okay in Echad Mevarech HaChulam. Some Rishonim say yes, and other Rishonim say absolutely not. The Takana was made by the Chachamim that every person is supposed to Mevarech LeAtzmo, and therefore even if you do Savrei, still Kol Echad Vechem Mevarech LeAtzmo. Marlon?
What about?
How do we Paskin? I don't remember. Probably we Paskin Kol Echad Mevarech LeAtzmo, but look what Shulchan Aruch.
Even if you're, let's say, taking a bunch of people
a toast usually is going to be, it's either going to be Lachar Suda, in which case echad mevarech l'chulam, or it's going to be bein mazon l'mazon when you make a toast. In other words, that's called bein mazon l'mazon because everybody puts their things aside by normal. So that Tosis also talks about, and there too seems to be a machlokas what you do with regards to that. So you can see the details in Tosis as well. Okay, there are two days on that. Some wanted to argue that you can only make that. Of course, you should need to have echad mevarech l'chulam because tova meitiv requires more than one person's participation. And others say, no, what are you talking about? You can make a tova meitiv even when you're the only one there if what's the good thing has affected more than one person. Okay, fine. So maybe I'll put that tosus on the bechina or something like that. I don't know. All right, let's go on in the Gemara. Nah. What? You don't want to take an oral bechina, trust me. Trust me, as they say. Can I have a volunteer to read on in the Gemara? I'm Rav Zera, I'm Rav Bar Yirmiya. Yeah, you're good.
I'm Rav Zera, I'm Rav Bar Yirmiya. Me'im asai, mevorach and alareach. Yishita lefi maktam.
All right, when do you make a bracha on the reach of Mugmar? So he says when the smoke starts to come up. What's the chiddush in the statement? Even though you can't smell it yet, so the Gemara says.
Amar le Reb Zera le Reb Bar Yirmiya the halo ka'arach. Amar le ulatamech hamotzi lechem in haaretz demivarech ve'alo acha. Eladaiti lomeichal hachanami daiti la'aruchet.
Okay, it's strange about what's strange about this. A little difficult. Difficult. What was the havamina? What was he thinking? Right. In other words, he didn't know that. By hamotzi. By hamotzi. What does hamotzi mean here? It means all berachas. Anenin. All birchas anenin. Somehow.
Unless he was worried about the opposite, that there would be too much of a break between making the bracha and
The simple explanation would be to say, he attributes it to Rishonim, the simple explanation would be that it's not that you make the bracha then, but rather that of the statement, the end doesn't follow, the Gemara's question doesn't make sense, but that you make the bracha at that point and not earlier than that point. In other words, you don't make when somebody walks in with the sandwich on a plate, I don't make hamotzi then, even if I be yotze and then I wait till the bread gets steamed. I wait till the bread is in front of me. It's not that I eat the bread before I make the bracha, but you don't do what we call kodem kodem, right? You don't do it over lasi yasan. You do it right before you eat. Okay, but the problem of
But then the answer
is. Right, the question doesn't make sense. V'halo ka'arach yet. So. Right. Now, what was the? So you could say that it's. He thought that was too early. So the answer is, what do you mean? Hamotzi is also too early, but that's the way you have to do it. It's a little difficult. Okay.
Amar Abchia Brei De Abba or Rabba Bar Nachmani. Amar Abchis Namar Ab. Amri La Amar Abchis Da Amar Zeire. Kol Hamugmaros Mevarchen Alehin Boreach Seva Samim Chutz Mimus Kshemin Chayahu.
Okay. Shemevarchen Alav. So Ziri says, or somebody else says, Rav says, or either Rav or Ziri say that all mugmaros you make a boreat sum. The chiddush here that the Gemara is going to challenge is what? Even though the wood has been consumed, nonetheless you still make an atze v'samim, even though the etzim and along kayamin.
What about the bracha of Yisrei v'samim?
That's right.
Right.
No, no,
well,
but you might.
Mugmar made out of
Esav. Same thing, but he would say the same thing. Even though the Esav maybe is burnt up, you still make Borei Esvei B'Samin.
Oh, you wouldn't say Atzei B'Samin.
Correct. Those things that you normally make, is for, why would you think otherwise?
Well, it seems to be Pshat the Gemara. It's saying that you always make an Atzei B'Samin.
I don't think so. I think it means all those things whose bracha in their own right would be, and you can call the Nates. Okay. Now, what is musk? So it comes from some animal. Rashi says it's the excrement of the animal. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah here, where he claims that it comes from some gland in the neck. And he quotes a machlokas harishona, whether it's mutter to drink that or not, to consume it when you should. It's a kosher animal. Is there a musk deer or something like that?
A musk ox,
but they don't know of a musk ox. That's a northern animal.
It's produced by many animals, musk. So
the point is that on the musk, the din is that you make a borei minei v'samim because it's not a plant product. But on all the other mugmaros, so you make... What's that? It's like a shahako. In fact, there's a day in Tosus. It says, what happens when you're not sure about what something is in terms of what its bracha b'samim is? So Tosus quotes a day that says you say shahako, which is, you know... But the truth is, it's true shahako in the Ebero. It still fits. Tosus says, the way we paskin, you say borei minei v'samim. Whenever you're not sure, you say borei minei v'samim. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah claims the minag by Havdalah. The minhag by Havdalah is to always make a borei minei v'samim no matter what it is. Because the truth is, and I was wondering about using an esrog, and then there's chashash, because maybe really you should make nashanas reach to beperos. What? On what? Okay. But the Mishnah Berurah says he's supposed to make borei minei v'samim. What?
Like the shahakal.
I don't know why. I was just going to observe that the minhag of a lot of Ashkenazi Jews certainly is what typically do you use for besamim? Do you think of when you grow up? Cloves. And the cloves should have been borei atzei besamim, I think. No. So, but nonetheless, we make a borei minei besamim on that. Okay. So borei minei besamim is the shahakol of smells, smell brachas. Okay. So now the Gemara says. Okay, so these are the only things that you make a borei atzei v'samim on, and the point is that in these cases, apparently, the Rashi says the eitz is still kayam. Rashi says a far simon shel eitz atzma balafaneinu. A far simon is what?
Persimmon.
No. No, it's not. I actually brought this here for a reason. Okay, so I will tell you, the Aruch has a Far Simon, he says, is balsam. Okay, a Far Simon is balsam. So it's balsamic oil. What's that? That is balsam. Same thing. It's a far simon. It's probably very expensive. I'm sure it's a Greek word. Yeah. Own. A samachan and an own ending almost guarantees that it's Greek. Okay, so these are the only three things. So what is the Gemara answer?
Tifta.
The Bahag did not have tifta in the Gemara. He has what Rashi, in fact, gives as the answer. Rashi says a tifta, but he says that anything that's similar to a hadas, that the eitz produces a smell while it's still and it hasn't been consumed. The Bahag says, what's the question? The point, the way Rashi explains, these are all things that you smell it when the eitz is still extant. And so you only say borei atzei v'samim when the eitz is extant during the time of the smell. Whereas by mugmaros, if it's been consumed, the wood, before you smell it, then you can't make a borei atzei v'samim anymore. In other words, you burn, for mugmar, you burn something. So if it's nisraf, so then you're not going to make bracha, yes?
Yeah, no, they have it as basically like a liquid switcher. From bar simon, they have it also. Apparently
balsam.
Balsam. Balsam or balsamon.
Okay, there you go.
Balsamonum, yeah.
Okay. So persimmon is a false friend, as they call them, languages. Okay, go ahead.
Amar le'Rav Chisda le'Rav Yitzchak, Hai mishcha da persimmon, mai mevarachim ilavei. Amar le'Hachi amar Rav Yehuda, boresh shemen artzeinu.
Amar le bar minyan de Rabbi Yehuda de chaviv ale eretz Yisrael lechule al mamai. Amar le hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan borei shemen arei.
Can someone, of course, describe to us the great irony here? You appreciate the great irony here. What's the irony? Not Rechista. No, that's not the irony. Rabbi Yehuda is the Amora, is an Eretz Yisrael, is a Babylonian Amora who refused to allow Rav Zeira to make Aliyah. He's the one who invokes the Gimel Shuos or Bavela Yuvav Shama Yiyu. He's the one is Chaviv Alav Eretz Yisrael, and he made such a special bracha. Rabbi Yochanan, who's the rest, everybody else, Rabbi Yochanan says you make, you know, Borei Shemen Arev. Rabbi Yochanan is the, who's the Zionist and who's not the Zionist. Rabbi Yochanan is a post-Zionist. Rabbi Yehuda is the real Zionist. He's the one who stays in Chutz Laretz and he loves Eretz Yisrael. Okay, go ahead. Yes, he does. He quotes Josephus on what Yosefon, excuse me, on what Shemen Arzenu is. Right, he says it's called Yericho because of Recho. It's some special thing I grew there. I tend to doubt that's a real etymology, but maybe it says it in Yosefon, okay? I don't know where else. You know, it's very easy. Take a Bar Ilan and just search for Yosefon and Rashi. I've never noticed him. Okay. So anyway. Yosefon. The medieval art scroll Josephus. Okay, go ahead.
Hai kishar ta mevarchin ilavei borei atzei v'samen. Aval mishcha kvisha lo. Rav Kahana amar apilu mishcha kvisha, aval mishcha tchina lo. Mehardai amar apilu mishcha tchina.
Okay, what is Sharita? Rashi says kosht. What is kosht? One second. I don't know, what is that? The Aruch says that Ikaro is Shemen Arvin Bo Kama Mine Matze Besamen Shemach Shiro Samaser Tech Mefutam Gion Zem Avarcha Laboratze Besamen. Doesn't really tell us much. Okay, Kisharta seems to be some concoction, some mixture of spices placed in oil. Okay, Avo Mishcha Kvisha Lo. What is Mishcha Kvisha? Okay, so you apparently pickle sesame seeds and other kinds of atzei besamim, and the shumsh and the sesame absorbs the smell of the besamim, and that's what its purpose was. And what's the din? What about the shemen? What bracha do you make on the shemen? Well, the answer: the shemen absorbs smell, but apparently you don't make the bracha on the shemen. Why? Because it wasn't intended for that. Rashi gives a different reason. He says because it doesn't look like it's spices; it just looks like oil. Okay, and then Rav Kahana Amar Afilu Mishcha. That's if the spices were so ground up. So here you really can't tell that there were spices in the oil, according to Rashi. I understand, but in other words, according to Rashi, the reason you don't make a bracha is because you can't see the besamim. So kvisha, you can see it better than you can with tchina. So he says that mishcha tchina, no, and nardayom and amrei. Okay. Fine. So Tosus explains differently. He says that it depends how much reichen has in it. That's what the machlokus is about. All right. Fine. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav.
Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav. Hi Simlak. Mevarchinu Lavei Boreach.
What is Simlak?
It's
jasmine.
Well, it can't be jasmine.
Yes,
but
it is.
Rashi explains the jasmine.
Rashi and Chumash explains that way. Yes. But here he explains it as Yasmin.
And there's the Hadrach actually says that this line, Yasmin Karnav Lashon Nishmal, is taken, it was printed by mistake because the Gilgan actually quoted Rashi. The real translation is Vuhumin Asif Sheesh Vashalos Shuros, which is what Rashi says afterward.
The Gilgan Ashas says what? Who, we have a note there? What does he say? Oh, he says in Yud, what does he say? You have to see whether or not it's, whether or not it's correct. He doesn't cite manuscript evidence. I think it's probably being driven because of the parish on Chumash. Okay, but anyway, the Aruch has Simlak is in fact jasmine. Okay, I don't know, what is it? Some kind of spice? What a flood which smells? Okay, Fine. Amar Rav Chananel.
Amar Rav Chananel Amarav. Hani Chalfei Diyama. Mevarachin Alayhu Bereza.
Chalfei Diyama is rosemary. Okay, that is a spice that is found. I meant to bring it. I was going to bring in, but, you know. What? I understand. So could anybody. But I... You didn't... You hadn't seen it in advance, and you didn't would have thought about it. I thought about it, but never managed to execute. Okay. Go ahead.
Amar Mar Zutra Maikra. Vehi Ha'alasam Hagaga. But it's been named the Pishtei Bayis.
Apparently, Pishtim, even though it's not... doesn't have really a hard wood thing, you can still make... even though it's relatively soft, you can make a Borei Atzei V'samim. It's called Eitz. Okay? Then, maybe Amar Misharshia. Go ahead.
Amar Misharshia. Hai Narkum Beginu Nisa. Mevarachin Ilavei Borei Atzei V'samim.
Okay. What is a Narkum or Narkus Beginu Nisa? It's the lily of the Sharon. It's Chavetel Sharon.
Whatever that.
What's that?
Whatever.
Well, I don't know which specific one, but lilies have the characteristic of they always have six petals on the flower, if I'm not mistaken. What's that? Okay. So anyway.
So.
I'm sorry.
They're monocots. That's why.
Okay.
Six petals.
There enough.
So the Ginonisa is Mevarachin Levei Borei Atzei V'samim. The Dabra Borei Isvei V'samim.
Okay, if they are of the field, you make Isvei V'samim. Why one, not the other? I don't know. Rashi, I don't think this Rashi's saying. No.
This is why we just make Borei
V'samim. Chas V'shalom. Go ahead. Amar of Sheshes.
Amar of Sheshes. Hani Sigali Mevarachin Alayu Borei Isvei V'samim.
Okay, Sigle are the Dudaim. What exactly are those? I don't know. I have a few different things here in the Aruch, or two different English terms. Viola, yeah, violets. Viola odorata, the ones that smell. Okay? Fine, so violets. So you make a Bari Yisrei B'samim. Amar Marzutra.
Amar Marzutra. Hai man de moreach be'esroga o bachavusha. Omer baruch shenasan reach tov bapeirot.
All right, an esrog is a esrog. And what is a chavush? I believe a chavush is a quince. If you know what a quince is. What's that? He actually tells you the chavush is at the beginning of Kilayim. Where's the picture of the chavush here? This is at the beginning of Kilayim. Hold on. Where is it? There we go. Here's a... I thought it'd say a chavush. I thought are also the same word as prishin. No,
that's what the laws are.
Yeah, and prishin are quince. I believe a parish is a quince. Let's see, what does he have on the side here? No, he has something else. Cydonia. Ever heard of that? Okay. Anyway, it is what it is. Go ahead. So what's the din? Baruch Shanasa Rehta Repairs. This is an important din, because this is true by Besamim as well. Spices, where the intent is primarily for eating them, consuming them, you're supposed to make Shanasa Reach Tov Beperos. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, that's the way it comes out. Which means that if you take spices out of the cabinet, and you're going to smell them, probably the bracha you make on them is Shanasa Reach Tov Beperos. Go ahead. I'm a Rav Yehuda.
Rav Yehuda, hi man, the napik v'yom enisan, the chazei ilanei de kamilav levei, omer baruch shaloh chisar be'olamo, klom uvarabo v'riyos tavos, v'ilanos tavos lehisnaos, or lehanos behen b'nev.
Okay, I think this is supposed to be usually understood as a fruit tree, not just stama tree, but I'm not sure. But if you see trees that are starting to blossom, so you're supposed to make this bracha. It's the right time of year, guys. Okay? Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. What's that? Usually you make it once. Why not make it more times? Probably it's like a Shechayanu sort of. Okay.
Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Minayin Shemavarach Na Lareach. Shanei Mar Kol HaNeshama Ta'aleuka. Eizu Davar Shanishama Nehines Mimenu Ve'en Aguf Nehena Mimenu. Havi Amar Zehareach.
I think this is a fundamental point that notes the difference. In other words, what kind of Hanos are there? This is a kind of hana that's usually not considered hana halachically. Why? Because normally halachic hana comes in one of three varieties. In terms of bodily hana, what are the three varieties? Achila, shesia, and sicha. Those are the three things that a person is chayiv on for being nana from truma. That you're chayiv mamisa b'dei shamayim, and you have to pay karen b'chol mashi du b'shogeg. What's that? But normally kol reach umare are typically not considered. We say, you know, ein bahem mishum me'ila. So that's an interesting question. There seems to be a unique din by avodah zarah, that the kol reach umare, to listen to the church music as it's being played in the church, not studying Gregorian chants, you know, in music class, but listening to the church music, or going in the church to look at the art, or to look at the edifice of the church itself, or smelling the incense burned in, I don't know if the church has incense, they burn incense in church?
It depends where, but...
No, I mean, the Catholic Church has incense as part of the ceremony?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So it's usher to smell that. It's usher to be nene from that reach. That's the isser that's spoken about of, but that's out of the ordinary. And so therefore, there is a din also berachas anenin by reach. There's no general din of if you see a beautiful painting, I don't think there's any berachas anenin on it. And if you hear a beautiful symphony, there's no din of berachas hakol on it. There is a din of berachas reach. Okay, what is the, so they want to know what hana is there that the neshama is nenes but not the guf? The answer is reach. Of course, that may also be because neshama refers to breathing. Breathing, neshima. Yes. Yes, I think it's inappropriate to be studying the chayfetz. A picture of it's a different story. I think the chayfetz itself is a problem. Yes, if the church is chefs shel avodah zarah, then it's absolutely inappropriate. I think it's asur. It may be asur midaraisa.
What happens if the church is out of service for wine?
If you're talking about the cloisters.
The cloisters is no longer.
I understand. You're talking about the cloisters. I think they were mevatel it. They were mevatel it. If it's a museum, effectively, if it's no longer a place of worship, then I think that constitutes bit of avodah zarah.
What if it got converted into a mosque?
Oh, it's like it's the famous one in Istanbul.
Then you should spit three times as you pass it.
Yeah, Hagia Sophia.
Okay. What?
Like the Vatican Museum. Because the Vatican itself is still an active.
I don't know. And if it's a separate building, effectively.
The building is
an active chapel.
Yeah, they use it once a year, so if you don't want to go in, you just turn around.
Yeah,
they don't let you turn around.
Yeah,
I've done.
You turn around.
Yeah,
we were on that.
Okay.
It's a one-way museum, but if you don't want to go to Sistine Chapel, just go the other way.
It's not, if you pass through without, you know, looking around, maybe it's less of an issue, but...
Christianity,
Roman Catholicism is avodah zarah.
So, therefore, do you not do business with any, you know, Catholics and, you know... Like
someone hit him over the head. Did you ever learn the Balei HaTosfos?
That's what I'm saying.
We do business with them even if, you know, even if Christianity is avodah zarah. David?
We're not on that topic.
I don't know why people think it's now ask the shilas about going into churches. That's not what we're doing now, okay?
In that case,
I mentioned it as a dimyon, that's what, yes.
There's a bracha here about seeing exceptionally beautiful people, trees, or fields. Would paintings wouldn't be included in that?
Fields? People. People have a bracha like Mishana Habrios. Shekachalo Balamo. And you have a bracha on trees, but that's
people, trees, or fields.
We don't pass it from an art school, so we have to see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But I think that also that's different because that's a product of nature, as opposed to a human created product. Anyway, okay, yeah. At opening the sugya? I don't know. That's a fair question. I don't know why. And the closing line is... Okay, very nice way. All right. What does what mean? Yes, it means in the future, Yeshiva Bachram are going to know that they're supposed to shower every day. Okay? And therefore, the Bachurei Yisrael will give off a Reach Tov. Until such a time... and they're going to give off another kind of odor. Okay, you see, now the guy's not going to learn that you see that you're not supposed to shower during the week. There you go. Okay. What?
It gets even worse.
Why? Hold on, we'll get there. Okay, all right. That's only if it's a sign that means what you're not allowed to do is to walk around and be flamboyant, do something that would look like you're being, flamboyant. Yes. I think it's not shaykh today, probably. I think you wear cologne, no one's going to suspect you of, therefore you're gay. Okay. Therefore you are practicing homosexual, is what I should say. Okay. Yes, David.
The way that's introduced here is that if you deny this Talmud Chacham, it's something for everyone's dad. You're not a Talmud Chacham.
Okay, but we should all aspire to be Talmud Chacham.
That's fine. My question
that we are.
But it's not us or anyway.
My question is the nature of that type of remark.
Do I think the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Deos, right? But it's if they're not going to be choshehim, it's not an issue. The real question is why it's only shayach to Talmidei Chachamim. If the issue is the Maris Ayin. I agree. So it's inappropriate.